Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
For you that haven't been here, and for the sake of all of you, on August the 22nd, on a Tuesday night, we were at Terry's mom, June Snyder's home in Ohio. And June has been diagnosed with cancer, and they have given her a marvelous report. They were going to start chemo. They decided not to. They told her, go home and enjoy your holidays. We'll see you once every 2 or 3 months or something for the next couple of years. It's just amazing. So it's just amazing. Just cancer. It's unbelievable. No, it's not unbelievable. It's just incredible. Thank you, Ron. Help me. That's right. It's incredible. Well, that night, Terry got up and she fell. She passed out. She's had heart issues and she fell. She hit her head and she bust her head open, took stitches and broke her neck, and we didn't know all about that until we'd come home to a surgeon, and the doctors have given us a good report. Her neck is healing, and they showed us on the x-rays where they were going to put screws and a cable and all of that, and he said, it looks like we're not going to have to do any of that. So praise God, and she's going to come out of this brace earlier than they intended, and it looks like the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, so it's just, there's all kind of these wonderful things happening. Well, in the middle of that, on the Thursday after this happened, we'd been back and forth to the hospital emergency, and she'd been in the hospital since that time, several times, and I said that morning when I was praying, Lord, what are you doing? I wasn't angry, I couldn't understand. We were there to help. We're trying to do something good. She's working real hard, you know, around the house and doing, and I'm taking her mom back and forth. We're just trying to help. We're just trying to minister to her mother. And how can this happen when you're trying to do right things? Have you ever had something happen like that? I just said, what are you doing? And he spoke to me. I felt like he spoke to my spirit. And he said, I'm working on your testimony. Well, I went from not discouraged but confused and very concerned about my mother-in-law and Terry. At the time, we didn't have good news for either of them. And instantly, my mind, I perceived that if he's working on my testimony, that means I'm going to come out of this. And it won't be so bad that I can't talk about it. I'm going to come out and I'm going to be able to praise the Lord for it. It was like a prophecy, but it sounded at the moment like, you know, he's working on me, but he's working on me all the time, you guys. I hope you recognize he's working on you too. He's working on me. He's always working on me. But the fact that he said, I'm working on your testimony, it all changed. It changed my perspective. The reason I'm telling you that is, instantly I realized that the thought that God is doing something inside of you through a bad situation immediately changes your perspective on what's happening. If you say, oh, well, God's at work. Everything he does comes out right. He doesn't halfway do anything. Put your seatbelt on for just a minute because I'm going to mess up your theology. I'm going to mess with you right now. Put your seatbelt on. He didn't try to save you. He doesn't try to do anything. I don't care what church has told you. It doesn't matter to me what religion told you. It doesn't matter what the devil said. It doesn't matter really what you believe. You're saved because he saved you. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He did that. Okay. You can unbuckle your seatbelt. That's as difficult a morning as you're going to have. Okay. He doesn't try to do anything. He's going to do it. God doesn't attempt anything. And so he's working on your testimony, which means he's working, putting his word inside of you, that no matter what the situation is, you have an anchor. You've got an anchor for your soul. You can have a thought in the middle of a terrible trial, and that thought, that word from God, settle the whole matter. You hear me? I thank God for the church. I know there are people that are concerned about, listen, God's doing a marvelous thing in our nation. He lets all kind of, to stir the church to prayer. And quit being negative about your government. God knows what's going on. No, I need some better amens than that. He's working on our testimony. God always works it out. Not just in your life, but in your neighborhood, in your family, in your church, in our nation, in our world, God is in charge. He's bigger than all of this, and he's at work. And what he's doing is he's putting word in you, putting a testimony in you, that you will be able to express the goodness of God no matter what you're going through. So it's a very personal thing. You are precious in the eyes of God. He loves you. He's putting something in you to help you. It will eventually help somebody else, but you got to get it first. You got to believe in your heart first. He plants that word in you. And he made an incredible example. In the Old Testament, the things that they did physically turned into a spiritual worship. They worshiped actually at an altar, and they sacrificed animals, and they had a tabernacle. Jesus became all of that. He's the high priest. He's the sacrifice. His is the blood. We'll celebrate that in just a little while with communion. So what they did actually and physically, we do and understand spiritually. And when God, I want you to please turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. When God told Moses to make the tabernacle in the wilderness, the tabernacle that he would meet the high priest, the holy place, the holiest of holies, all of the furniture of that tabernacle, he explained all of that to Moses. Outside the tent itself, there was an altar where the priest would kill animals and burn them, and it was God's plan for them to burn these sacrifices to God. And then next was a bath of water, and they could wash, and then they would enter the tent. It would be like this sanctuary that we're in. And when they went in the tent, there was a lamp on one side, a table on the other with bread on it, and directly ahead of them was the altar of incense where they would burn incense. Then there was a veil. Behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant. And God said, one time a year, let the priest come all the way through all of these furnitures and doing all of these things, past that veil, and when he brings the blood of the sacrifice on that day past the veil, I will meet you in the holiest of holies. I will meet you. And so they built a box, and I'm going to read to you about that in a minute. They built this box. They called it the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of that, there was this golden lid that had two molten golden formed angels over the top of it. And so when they would sprinkle the blood, God said, I will speak to you there above the cherubim, these angels that were formed. That's where I'm going to talk to you. So it was a holy place. It was a marvelous experience. And so when he's telling Moses to make this Ark of the Covenant, which was the focal point of all of the nation of Israel's worship, he said to them, and this is Exodus 25:16, then put in the Ark the testimony which I give you. Everybody say the testimony. So there's going to be something put in the Ark, and that's the testimony. Look at verse 22. There above the cover, between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the Testimony, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. So he calls it the Ark of the Testimony. I've been preaching for several weeks, and I'm giving you that foundation if you're a guest with us today or if you're new, that you are the place where God meets. God doesn't dwell in buildings of stone and wood. God dwells in you. You are the tabernacle. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the Ark of the Covenant. When God speaks to you, he speaks inside of you. It's a marvelous thing, but everyone here has had an experience. Sometime in your life, you recognize something was speaking to me. I talked to Bob Erickson and I were driving the other morning. I won't tell you that we were going fishing. And my friend called me. Jack Kinney called again. And he pulled up to get his coffee at Starbucks, and the gal at the window said, the person in front of you paid for yours. It's kind of a fun thing that's going on. You hear about it, you pay it forward, people paying and all of this. So Jack has done that a lot for people. He's a Christian, he tries to think about it, and he's often just urged to do that. But it was the first time it had ever been done for him. And he called me and said, oh my God, I can't tell you what happened. It's just somebody bought my coffee. So he runs this guy down at the red light to say thank you, to tell him thank you. And the guy in broken English, he's moved here from West Africa. He looks at Jack and he said, "Something tell me in my ear, buy your coffee." And he's freaking out because something spoke in his ear. Well, I'm about to go crazy because it's a big deal to Jack that somebody bought his coffee. It's a big deal to me that God spoke to somebody, and for the rest of their lives, they're going to know, that was God? God spoke? That's bigger than a cup of coffee, you all. And I am telling you that the Spirit of God is... Joel said, "In the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh." All of you are a recipient of the Holy Spirit. All of you can tune in and listen. It could be just the slightest thing. Be kind to someone. Just say something nice. Stop and pray. Praise and worship. Somehow His Spirit brings you into harmony. Do you believe this? So you are the Ark of the Covenant. And what He's doing is He's putting your word. Turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 to 25. 1 Peter 1, 23. "For you have been born again." Somebody say born again. How many of you know that's a real controversial concept? There's all kind of ways to be born again in a lot of people's minds. I just want to read what the scripture says. "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, the glory of the fire of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." When the Spirit of God comes into you, it's spermatozoa, it's the seed of God, and you are born again. Life comes into you. You don't live by yourself. You're not alive because of you. Physically born or spiritually born, you're born of God, not just your parents. There's a new birth that happens. So when God's word comes into you, it makes you pregnant. There's life inside of you. It's living, His living word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's alive. That's why sometimes I get crazy. I got good sense. I'm an educated man. I'm sophisticated. I got class. But when the Spirit of God moves inside you, you kind of lose your mind. It's more exciting than Houston beating the Yankees. It's bigger. Help me, somebody. It's bigger than the Vikings winning. There's something bigger, joyful, something alive. Something happens to you. And what God does is if by the grace of God, you will receive the truth today about His love for you, His care for you, that word will come out of you when trouble comes and you wonder, have you been left alone? Has he abandoned me? And then something inside the word inside the ark, the testimony inside the covenant, the word, the living word inside the box endures no matter what's going on the outside. How many of you have ever been through times of difficulty? Not just overnight, not just a day. Come on. Part of what's happening with Terry is this is such a long time to have to wear that brace. It's just a long, long time. They told her, when you take it off, you're going to be sore and stiff. You know, you're not all better. It's just a process. How many of you, honest to God, like me, be honest, how many of you hate the process? If you're doing something, let's get her done, right? When I wake up tomorrow, let's be done with this. Patience, I got mine. Let's move on. Seriously. Attitude, I've adjusted my attitude. I've adjusted it. Come on, somebody. Come on. But it seems like when it stretches out, it's like we're so temporary. You know, it's if it takes more than a day or two or three or whatever, like, my God, I've known people to be out of work for a long time, and folks start looking at them like they're lazy, they're no good, they're bums. The truth of the matter is God's trying to teach you something, and when you come out of it, you'll be able to tell anybody. I'll tell you, He'll take care of you when you don't have any money. He'll take care of you when you don't have a job. I hate to be without a job. I hate that. But you know what happens? You got a testimony. You got a testimony. You don't have a testimony if you don't have a test. Now let's go to an old story that we all love, that God's been talking to me about this for several weeks, and I couldn't figure it all out until the last maybe 48 hours. And it's an old story that we all know. It's the prodigal son. Man has two sons. He's a wealthy man. He's a farmer. And his youngest son says to him, give me my inheritance. And the Bible says he took his inheritance and he went away and he wasted it. He spent his inheritance. And after he spent it all, he was hungry. He joined himself to a pig farmer and he was there in the pig pen. And he was so hungry, he was starving to death. Look at Luke 15, 17. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. It's a grand story. It's in the middle of a trilogy. Jesus is talking about things that are lost and found. And in 17, this guy's sick. He was starving. It says in Luke 15, 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. Now that's one version. One version says when he remembered his father's house. When he remembered. When he came to his senses. He realized, I'm starving to death. I'll get real deep with you for just a moment. I want you to recognize that this story is not just about a boy leaving home and acting like a fool. It's about you and me. It's not just about this boy going home to his father. It's about you coming back to God from a place of starvation and stupidity. It's like you've walked away spiritually and you realize, this is terrible. I'm living in a pig pen. My marriage is messed up. My finances are messed up. My mind's messed up. I'm grieving all the time. This is stupid. What am I doing here? I need to get back to God. But I want to talk to you about that concept. Where did that seed come from? Because what he didn't know at the time, what he had forgotten, was that he was a son. He's an heir. He is loved. And in his confusion, he says, I'm going to go back and ask my father, just make me like one of your hired servants. Because listen, in the Father's house, even the servants have more than enough. And you can be proud and you can stay there and you can get real hungry where you are and you can say, I'm not giving into this. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to turn my mind around. I'm right. She's wrong. That music's too loud and I'm not going there. You can, all these things can happen in your head and cause you to say, I'm not giving in. Well, you get hungry enough. Remember the pause now that I'm talking about? You go long enough through that madness. And somehow, what was in the ark, the testimony, triggered his thoughts. I need to go home. I need to go home. I need to get back to my father's house. Do you know that it's a short walk home? Do you know the moment you think right, you are there? The moment you say, I'm wrong, I've made a mistake, I've rebelled, I'm not right, this is not right, and this is not what God intended for me, I'm going to return. His father welcomed him, and he was, listen, still a son in spite of his stupidity. Strap your seatbelts on. He's poured his spilled out on all flesh. He died once for all. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're a child of God. You can say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, you get hungry enough. You get screwed up enough, you'll realize I got to get out of this mess. One of my dearest friends, man that passed away, used to come to our church. His name was Jimmy. Jimmy was an alcoholic. I said it then, and I want to say it now, though I'm a little nervous today. I don't know if you will take this right. Alcoholism converted Jimmy. He ended up believing in the grace of God because he was such an alcoholic, he couldn't do a thing about it. And he needed God. And he would come here drunk. As a matter of fact, one time Jimmy and I came in here, he was drunk, and I made myself all up like I was all dirty and put a hat down over my head, put some old clothes on, and I came and sat right over there. Do you remember that? People came and gave me money. Folks came, patted me on the back. And when Stuart Ward said the pastor's going to come preach now, and nobody saw me in the room, my grandkids didn't know me, nobody knew it was me, I got up and asked if I was going to walk out, and I came to the pulpit. And when I did, the ushers came to grab me and take me out. I'm a crazy man going to get up in the pulpit. And when I started talking, people started screaming, "Ah!" The reason I got in the room that day without being noticed is because I was with Jimmy. Because he's all time bringing bums and drunks. And he'd stand up drunk and say, "You know, I'm a mess. I'm such a mess. But I thank God so much because he loves me." And people would just be embarrassed and nervous. And I would go, "Yes, yes, me and you, Jimbo, let's preach it together." Because the testimony that's in that ark, the testimony that's in your heart, is what God's working on. So that you can look somebody in the eye and say, "I know exactly where you are." People can't hardly hear a preacher sometimes, but they could hear you. They can hear you when you sit right now and look back and say, "He loved me. He loved me when I walked away, and he loved me when I came back." And I've been doing that back and forth thing a lot. And he keeps loving me in spite of my mess. Then you have a testimony. Not because of your goodness, but because of your badness. Not because of your faithfulness, but because of his faithfulness. Not because you're perfect, because he is perfect. Not because you suddenly got better and you're no longer afraid, but because of his love cast out your fear. His perfect love just cast out your fear. Don't listen to church. Don't listen to preachers. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Spirit of God that's in you. Because all I'm doing is confirming what he's been telling you all the time. "I love you. Come on back. Leave the pig pen. I'll love you like a son. There's more than enough here. Come on. Get up. Go ahead and pray. I know you haven't been praying, but come on, pray now. I know you haven't been singing, but sing now. I know you haven't been loving me, but love me now. Leave it. Walk away from the pig pen. Come on back." There's something inside you that says, "Yeah, yeah, that's right. Every time he talks to me, he welcomes me. Somebody help me. Every time he talks to me, he encourages me. Every time he talks to me, he heals me up. He has never kicked me around. He never put me down. He never made me feel ashamed. He never put me out. He never said, 'Come cleaned up and then you can come back.' He always said, 'Come on back. You're my son.' And I have a witness in my spirit that says everybody needs to hear it in their ears. That's the testimony. That the boy had a testimony in, listen to this, listen to his testimony, in my father's house." He still knew he had a dad. He didn't have it all right. He didn't have his theology right, but he still knew, "I got a dad. I got a father." Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father." Come on, everybody. "Our Father." I wish I had time right now because I try to figure out what's the thing on the advertising now. You can get all the roots, all your different ancestry. I wish I had ancestry right now, because we would go from the whitest white to the blackest black. We'd go from Scandinavian stiff necks to black loose folk. Because in this room is represented from the islands, every nation, and we all say, "Our," say it with me, "Our Father." I'm so thankful for our church, where people can come from any place, anybody, from any descendant, and say, "Our Father." Why? Because there's something witnessing in our spirit. There's a healing. There's a healing coming to our nation. I know the racial discord. I understand that. But by God, he says it to all of us. You call me our Father. Not because I walked with God, but because he walked with me. Jesus, God. One night at 2 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang. I got up. It was Jimmy's wife. The kids were all there, and had a big fight with him. And he walked out, and they were afraid he was going to commit suicide. And they called me and said, Jimmy's gone. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Twin Cities is a big place. Where's he gone to? You can believe this or not. But I drove to the boat dock at Tanner's Lake. And there was Jimmy sitting at the end of the boat dock looking out over the lake. And I walked out on that boat dock and didn't say one word. I saw him sitting there in the dark. And he did not turn around. And he said, I knew you'd come. I said, well, I did. What's up? He said, I'm in trouble. I've been drinking again. All I remember, and I'll probably die with it, is the silhouette of that man in the dark with the lights of the Denny's across the lake. And his voice saying, I knew you'd come. When I knew, Jane, I got my yes. Yes, the Lord will lead you, Mickey friend. Yes, the Lord will put you where you belong. Yes. And I thought, my God, I don't know how I even came to this spot. But it was God reaching out to his boy. Saying, let me tell you one more time, you're not too much of a mess for me. Romans chapter 5, please, and we'll finish this day with communion. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. If you're taking notes, I have three references to give you now. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. You may think I'm godly, but I don't think so. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. For a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us. Everybody say us. In this, while we say we were still sinners, Christ died for, look at somebody and say us. Us. Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. I want you to read this before you receive communion. Because I've discussed communion with people who thought they weren't worthy. And that we examined ourselves and we found that we're not worthy. None of us are worthy. He's worthy. I receive communion because he's worthy. Oh, you are getting it. I like that. 35, Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? How about you just say no every time? Would you just do that, all right? Shall trouble? No. How about hardship? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Danger? No. Sword? No. Very well. It's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. Somebody say no. 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 In all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced. I've got a testimony. Somebody shout, I have a testimony. And this is my testimony, that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any power, height, depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have a testimony today. I have a testimony today. Inside me is a testimony that nothing has been able to separate me from the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's my testimony. Oh, Jesus. Okay, one more. 1 John 4. The reason I loved Jimmy so much is when I'd start talking about the love of God being for all of us ungodly, powerless people, he'd just shout and say amen, and he knew it. Are you afraid to say amen because you don't want anybody to know that you were ungodly? Are you nervous about shouting hallelujah because you want people to think maybe that you're righteous? Well, good luck, honey. You'll be figured out before long. Because if you're married, she already knows. 1 John 4, 9. I can hardly read my... This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, somebody say amen, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I had more to read, but let's just finish with that and say that when Jesus gathered his friends around him, what we call the Last Supper, he said to them, take this bread. He broke it, and he said, eat this, because this is my body that was broken for you. They didn't understand. Then he said, take this cup, because this is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. Drink it. This is my blood. This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink it. And do it. Listen now, this is the key to the whole thing. I preached all those words to say this, because he said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this because I put in your heart something that you need to remember, and that is that I love you with an everlasting love. And no matter how many people put you down, it doesn't matter what you've been through, it doesn't matter how bad things have been in your past, it doesn't matter if you've been molested and abused, I get it. But it means that he loved you through it all. Through it all, he has loved you. And he's going to heal your brokenness. And he's going to give you life instead of death. That's his gift to you today.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.